What man of you, if he shall lose one sheep, doth he not leave the others and go after that which was lost until he find it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you remember a number of years ago, some of you may, a sermon about the Mass, and I told you the story of St. Colette, cloistered poor Clare nun from the 15th century. You could imagine how quiet Mass would be in a cloister chapel with nuns. Well, one day at the consecration, St. Colette cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my Jesus, O angels, saints, and sinful men, what marvels, what marvels." And then she was quiet again, and the Mass resumed. And the chaplain summoned her to the sacristy afterwards, wanting to know why she made such a ruckus and interrupted the silence of the sacred action of the canon of the Mass. And she explained, "When your reverence lifted up the sacred host, I saw Christ on the cross, and I heard him say, 'Eternal Father, look upon this body of mine hanging on the cross. Look upon my blood flowing from all of my wounds. All of this I endured to save sinners. If they are lost and go to hell, I shall have nothing to show for my bitter passion. For my sake, my Father, save these sinners.'" On Sacred Heart Sunday, the Church shows us again in the Gospel just now sung at the altar, the Good Shepherd shows us, say rather, that every day at the altar, the Church shows God the Father and all of sinful mankind, that's us, the death and the blood and the wounds of Jesus Christ on the cross. He brings us to life by going to die. He seeks us out, the shepherd does, by mounting his cross. And this not once only in the long ago, a fitting subject for meditation, but today in the Mass before our eyes. There was a certain German priest who, having heard a story such as I told you last Sunday about the Holy Child Jesus appearing in the Sacred Host, sighed, and he said to another priest, he said, "Why is it that God shows wonderful things to saints who don't need to see them, whereas a poor sinner like me, who am often tempted against belief in the Blessed Sacrament, with my wavering faith, nothing ever?" Well, soon thereafter, as he was offering Mass, and he went to take the Sacred Host into his hands to break it, he saw the Holy Child, the Divine Infant, with a radiant smile. But then in an instant, the child was turned into the crucified Christ with his head inclined, tilted to one side, just at the moment of his expiration. Well, the priest started weeping. He couldn't move. He could barely catch his breath. And he almost lost consciousness, he said later, as he stood there. He was at Calvary. He couldn't finish the Mass. And the people were wondering what the delay was and why he was weeping. At last, our Lord resumed the appearances of bread. And after Mass, the priest went to the pulpit to try to explain the wonders the Lord had worked that day. But when he got to the part about seeing Christ crucified, just about to die with his head inclined, well, then he was overcome again with emotion, and speechless, he left the pulpit. He spent several days just meditating on Christ's passion, and his life changed. He became devout. Whether or not he was still tempted, I do not know. But I do know that from then on, he led a life away from the world, which is the source of so many temptations. We would too, and willingly, if only we would meditate more avidly what goes on at the altar at every Mass. The Good Shepherd is constantly giving his life for his sheep, and the Sacred Heart is offering his side to the spear to be opened to save us. Now, we're doing this series of sermons on the mysteries of the Rosary. If praying the Dominican Rosary is difficult because each decade demands some meditation to gain the indulgences, to fulfill Our Lady's requests, thinking about Calvary, whether at Mass or the fifth sorrowful mystery, must be especially challenging for a Catholic. Even though you've already been able to see the movie, still, we really don't have any concept in the modern world of what it is to be crucified. And if we did, how could we bear to think about it for very long? Cicero, 50 years before Christ, said, "What shall I say of crucifixion? There is no way to find words for such an abomination." Undoubtedly, it is the worst. It is the most agonizing way to kill someone ever invented. They say it was invented by the ancient Persians, but is today Iran, and that it was too much for the Greeks to practice, but the Romans did, for non-Roman citizens, especially for slaves. It was regarded as a sort of a slave's death. More often than not, they called it the companionship of the cross. The suffering of the crucified Christ is almost beyond imagination. But at the same time, use your imagination a little bit and you'll banish distractions. Slow suffocation, joined with the sensation of searing pain, was his those hours at Calvary. The pain caused by the nails which were hammered into his flesh, not only tearing his flesh, so that when he moved, our Lord was pumping out his lifeblood at every moment. But those nails smashed the nerves, which meant that his hands were paralyzed, and which meant as well, they compare it to this, he suffered, as it were, the pain of electrocution. Not for an instant, and then someone dies or loses consciousness, but an electrocution which lasted for 3 hours. Unbearable agony. Consider Jesus Christ on the cross and see if you can't manage greater recollection at Mass and at the mysteries of the Rosary. Jesus Christ, clothed only in a loincloth, having been beaten nearly to death, still wearing his crown of thorns, mocked by the people, his own people, who made him a parade as a hero just a few days before, twisting there on the cross in the darkness of Calvary's afternoon, gasping for air. He hangs there, exposed to the lightning bolts of God's justice for 3 hours. And this, that your soul may be saved. This is the Mass. Or consider that when our Lord had expired, the soldier came with the lance, the coup de grace, which was customary for the executioner to give to the crucified to make sure he was really dead. It was an act of sacrilege. It was one of Mary's seven sorrows. And yet at the same time, his Sacred Heart being open to us gives us the source of the seven sacraments. See, God's way of taking sin and turning it around and making it a channel of grace. The soldier comes up and pierces our Lord from the right side, and the lance goes in until it hits the heart. And there comes out blood and water, assuring that the pericardium, the membrane around the heart, was pierced, and he was truly dead. Or, another way to meditate, we have a third way now, would be with the one heart of Jesus and Mary, as the saints tell us. St. Bridget, in her revelations, talks an awful lot about Our Lady's heart being one with her Son. Everything she suffered everything in her heart, what our Lord suffered in his flesh and in his soul. When you meditate this mystery with Mary, just keep those words in mind. Behold thy mother. How has she become my mother except by giving birth to me in blood and an indescribable agony? Our Lady died in childbirth, giving birth to you, and it was only a miracle that kept her alive. Remember, and it's too bad when we grow up, we lose this quality of childhood, how children will pester you with questions. Remember, that's the best way to meditate. Ask what? We've considered that now. Ask who? Yes, we've done that too, but when? It's another way. Ask the questions. When? Why, it was the great preparation day, the eve of the last Passover of the Old Covenant. Remember in the movie, the lambs were sacrificed at that very hour, and the trumpets in the temple were sounded when our Savior was crucified, the true Lamb of God. When Calvary officially occurred, the 25th of March in the year 33 AD. When, as far as I am concerned, Calvary is occurring the 1st of June, 2008, upon this altar. And why? Ask why. You do, don't you? When you're feeling a little sorry for yourself, I mean. Why me? Why so many crosses? Why haven't my prayers been heard? Who has not been tempted, sheep-like, to wander away in times of great distress or of pain? Why? Why it is for the same motive which should have brought you to church on Friday for communion on the Feast of the Sacred Heart, the same motive which maybe will bring more of you this first Friday for a communion, that is to say, reparation. Why all of this? Reparation. Our blessed Savior is the divine repairman, and his tools are the cross and the nails and the thorns and the spear and the sponge of vinegar and the burning thirst. And with those tools, this heavenly craftsman works out the great reparation for all of the sins of all of mankind, so that I may be saved. Now, our Lord, when working, saves something for you and for me to suffer. There are some lost sheep who will only be saved if I leave the rest and go look for them. There are some devils who will only be driven out, look at today's epistle, by my prayer and my fasting. And that fasting means all self-sacrifice, giving up food indeed, or perhaps drink, or giving up entertainment, or time, or money or gasoline for a mass, for the price of a soul. And only I can pay that price. Our Lord left that for me to do. Why? The ultimate answer, turn to Christ on the cross as you're meditating the mystery, the ultimate answer is a word, love. The love of God, the love of man. When I ask why I must suffer too, and so long, I remember that there are some souls I must shepherd in my own soul first to safety. I must be a shepherd with the good shepherd and a victim with the Sacred Heart on the cross. Last of all, as you're meditating this mystery, you might use the phrase, the word first, enough. Because what our Lord did was enough. It was perfect to win our salvation. But then after that, then think about not enough. It is not enough to even manage, and for most of you that would be a stretch, really to be amazed and to meditate, to get some real picture and to stay with it for a while of what our Lord really suffered. Because there's a kind of a morbid fascination in our nature, and it easily devolves to that. Although, to meditate the Passion is a Holy Ghost key to melt the most frozen of hearts. And we should do it regularly with the rosary. Not enough. Not enough to be faithful to the true Mass, to eschew the meal of the modernists or the modernist Mass of the One World Church, even a Latin Mass, whereby they're trying to get you back into their false religion. That's not enough to love our old Mass and to be faithful to it most Sundays. That's still not enough. He is demanding the holy little child in the host. My heart belongs to Jesus and Mary, and it belongs where? There, on the altar. This is how straying sheep are sought. This is how salvation is bought. I must do my part. Finally, the death of Christ tells me I mustn't consider my own life so terribly valuable. I must be willing to lay it down for his sheep. You know that, you parents and grandparents, but not a one of you must forget the truth. There is someone whom you need to be seeking, and if you don't, he will be lost. And this is where he is sought and found, Calvary, the Catholic altar, the Mass. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.